Let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 through 16. In this second half of the chapter, we have further instructions from the Apostle Paul to Timothy concerning Christian leadership, particularly in view of the dangers of false teaching. These instructions are good for Christian leaders today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Let's begin our study of this second half of 1 Timothy 4 with some background notes. Remember, Timothy was at Ephesus when the Apostle Paul wrote this first letter to his son in the faith. Paul had left Timothy at Ephesus to be a leader in the young church there. This was no easy job for a number of reasons. Number one, being a leader in any church at any time is never an easy job. Number two, we've already seen that there was the danger of false teaching in and around Ephesus. It was not easy for Timothy to refute this false teaching and keep the church at Ephesus pure in doctrine. However, we know that Timothy and others did a good job here because about 35 years later, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation and referred to the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. This was the word of the Lord himself to the church at Ephesus about 100 AD. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So the church at Ephesus remained pure in doctrine during the first century. They did, however, unfortunately, lose their first love, that is, their deep devotion to Christ. And for that, they were rebuked. But at least they remained pure in doctrine and faithful in service, showing that Timothy was successful in carrying out Paul's instructions given here in 1 Timothy. A third reason why it was not an easy job for Timothy to be a church leader at Ephesus was because Timothy was still a young man. Verse 12, once again, let no one despise your youth. How old do you think Timothy was at this point? Probably between 30 and 35 years old. Well, for these three reasons, it was not easy for Timothy to follow Paul's instructions here for being a good church leader. Now, these instructions were not only good for Timothy, they are good for all believers today, especially church leaders. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points. And our doctrinal points will be five instructions for church leaders, but certainly they can be applied to all believers. So doctrinal point number one, church leaders must labor for godliness. Church leaders must labor for godliness. Verse 10, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach or strive. To what end? Godliness, as we see in the context, look at verse 8. Godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Church leaders must labor for godliness. The word here, suffer reproach or strive here in verse 10, is the Greek word from which we get agonize, like an athlete giving every last ounce of energy to reach the goal. But it's worth it, because our hope and trust is in the living God. It's worth it. Now, at the end of verse 10, we read that God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. What's the Bible teaching here anyway? Is the Bible teaching universalism here? That God is the Savior of all men? All people are saved? No. The idea here is essentially the same as we had back in chapter 2 in verse 6. that Christ gave himself a ransom for all. In other words, God is potentially the Savior of all mankind because the work of Christ on the cross was sufficient for all. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but the saving work of Christ is only effective for those who believe. That is, especially or specifically or actually those who believe. Our job is to labor and strive to bring people to the living God and see them live godly lives. Church leaders must labor for godliness. Doctrinal point number two, church leaders must be a good example. Church leaders must be a good example. Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, says Paul, don't give anyone an opportunity to look down on you or criticize you because of your age. Remember, be such an example so that they have no opportunity at all to criticize you because of your younger age. Let me ask each one of you here today, particularly those of you who are under 35 years of age, where would your church be today if they followed your example in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity? This is a convicting question, isn't it? Church leaders must be a good example. Doctrinal point number three, church leaders must set the right agenda. Church leaders must set the right agenda. Verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, at first glance, you might think that Paul is telling Timothy to make sure he has his own personal quiet time of Bible reading and prayer, and that Timothy gets to church regularly so that he is exposed to exhortation and sound doctrine. Now, while that's good advice, that's really not Paul's point here. Remember the context and the theme of the book, church order. So Paul is telling Timothy here to make sure the scriptures are read publicly in the church at Ephesus. Remember, this is before the printing press. Everyone did not have their own personal Bible. And Timothy is further to make sure that sound doctrine and exhortation is presented in the church at Ephesus, especially in view of the dangers of false teaching. So Timothy, as a church leader, is to guard the platform. He is to set the right agenda for the church, not the music committee or the drama committee or the fundraising committee or any other committee. The same is true today. All of those areas are aspects of the ministry and have their proper place. But the agenda for the church must center around the public reading of Scripture and public preaching and teaching of sound doctrine and exhortation. Church leaders must set the right agenda. Doctrinal point number four, church leaders must exercise their spiritual gifts. Church leaders must exercise their spiritual gifts. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Timothy, like all Christians, had a spiritual gift. Most likely, Timothy's spiritual gift was the pastor-teacher gift. In Timothy's case, this spiritual gift was given to him in association with prophecy. That is, the Holy Spirit, through a New Testament prophet or prophets, had designated Timothy as the recipient of this spiritual gift. Remember what we read back in chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Timothy's spiritual gift was then publicly recognized, as we see here, by the presbytery, or the elders, laying their hands on Timothy and commending him to the Lord's work. Now, the important point here is that Timothy was not to neglect this spiritual gift. He was to use it and exercise it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Timothy was told to stir up the gift which was in him. The same is true today. Our spiritual gifts do not act automatically. As an athletic ability must be exercised by an athlete, so a spiritual gift must be exercised by a believer. Let me ask you here today, are you exercising your spiritual gift? You say, Dr. Dave, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. How can I know? Just get involved in serving the Lord, and you will discover what your spiritual gift or gifts are. The rest of the body of Christ will recognize your spiritual gift and even tell you what your spiritual gift is and what it is not, by the way. So church leaders must exercise their spiritual gifts. Doctrinal point number 5, church leaders must be fully committed. Church leaders must be fully committed. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Are you fully committed to the service of the Lord? Notice I didn't say fully committed to the Lord for salvation, but for service to the Lord. That's really the point of verse 15. Give yourself entirely to the things of the Lord. Now, this does not mean that you can't go to the beach or go skiing or have a secular job. But if you are fully committed and giving yourself entirely to the service of the Lord, even your beach breaks and your ski weekends and your secular jobs can be a means to serve the Lord. Did you realize, by the way, that when you ride a double chair ski lift, for example, you have a captive audience for at least 5 minutes? You can give your testimony, including the gospel, in 5 minutes. You really can if you work at it. In any case, we should be fully committed like Timothy so that our spiritual progress will be evident to all as a model and example. What a challenge it is to our own lives to see a fully committed Christian. Church leaders must be fully committed. Now, what about practical application? Keep an eye on yourself. Keep an eye on yourself. This practical application comes from verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You know, I've had parents of some of my students ask me to keep an eye on their son or their daughter. What they mean by this, of course, is to make sure that their son or daughter goes straight and doesn't get into any trouble. Well, Paul tells Timothy to keep an eye on himself, and we should do the same. If your conduct does not live up with your doctrine, you can do great damage to yourself and fellow believers. But if you keep an eye on yourself and your conduct does live up to your doctrine, then as Paul said to Timothy, notice what he says here, verse 16, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What's that mean? The idea here in the context is probably that you and others who follow you will be saved from false teaching and thus saved to serve the Lord with your whole life. So if you want your life to count forever, keep an eye on yourself now.